Hey, Jeremy here. Thanks so much for pressing play. This episode is a transformative conversation with Rob Hardy, the founder of a website and community called Ungated Media that's dedicated to helping creators attract their 1,000 true fans, which we'll talk about. Basically, helping creators turn their art form or passion into their career. And that applies to so many of us, so many people that I talk to, including myself. So it was truly a transformative conversation, especially because he with Ungated and I with Inspiring Careers are both in similar places right now. So this conversation was just incredibly therapeutic to me. I hope you get as much out of it as I did. Yeah.
Yeah. You caught me at kind of a weird time in my life. I don't know, to quote Fight Club or whatever, in that I would probably say completely different things about 1,000 true fans and what I'm doing like 6 months ago than I would say today. And there's been kind of a crazy fucking paradigm. And am I allowed to curse? Because I'm probably going to
Totally,
curse a lot.
totally cool.
Even if you said no, I wouldn't be able to help myself. So at least, but no, like I'm starting to flesh out a lot of this new thinking because I don't know what exactly has happened, but my worldview around a lot of things has changed pretty substantially in the last year. And I'm finally starting to integrate a lot of that. So I don't know, there might be some bumbling around as I figure out like what the hell it is I actually believe and what I'm doing. Because I've got some ideas, but it's interesting. Like the vision for this thing isn't what I thought it was. And that's exciting. And also, yeah.
I find that fascinating, Rob, because I'm going through a very similar thing with Inspiring Careers, and with like my belief that we even need to find ways to make money. I'm like starting to regenerate feelings of like why do we even need to live in a society that costs money? Like, what if we didn't? What if we, what would it look like if humanity went back to sort of smaller scale living, and didn't have commutes, didn't have big companies, or like whatever, like part of the world can operate that way. But yeah, so I'm thinking a lot about that kind of stuff. I guess to provide context, for me and for anybody who listens to or watches this, if I publish the video, what was your, how were you thinking about it 6 months ago or prior to the shift?
Yeah, it's hard to like there's a whole bunch of different threads that are woven together into a worldview like I don't know that I used to have and whatever I have going on now. I'd say a lot of my 20s were sort of defined by my cat. A lot of my 20s were defined by sort of traditional personal development advice, traditional business slash marketing advice, a lot of which is just sort of like a remnant of industrial society, of this idea that we all have ladders to climb, that we all have just sort of like this individualistic agency in the world to maximize our I don't know, our share of a limited pie. Like there's a lot of interesting things going on there. But broadly speaking, a lot of it was about sort of making your way through the world with force and being the person who like understands, oh my God. Who understands what you want and does what's necessary to get it. And I don't know if that even does justice to what was there before. Like there is, because like I think a lot of it also had to do with the relationship with the self and using all sorts of coercive methods to like boost my productivity and to finally be healthy and essentially like treating myself as something to be tamed or something to be mastered or disciplined or whatever. And I think that that fundamentally translates into how you deal with the world. So one of the big shifts for me in the past 6 months or 8 months or whatever has been around moving through the world without coercing myself. And like healing the relationship with the self and then seeing how that manifests in all of my different endeavors. And it's really been fascinating to me to witness how my entire sense of the external world is dictated by whatever the hell is going on inside, which it sounds kind of obvious when you say it like that. But for me, I think that's probably been the big thing. And I know that was an incoherent like mess of different things to pull on, but yeah, dude, I think that might be the big one is sort of the shift from coercive living, both with myself and with others, like coercive marketing and coercive productivity and whatever else, to how can we live non-coercively, where we recognize the interdependence of everything and I don't know, man. I don't know.
Non-coercively, I would describe, would you equate that, at least in some fashion, to like going with the flow, like respecting the laws of the universe, respecting the way things flow, and allowing things to play out the way they're supposed to, the way nature intended them, like those kinds of themes?
Definitely. I think there's a maybe like a Taoist element of it. I forget what the philosophy is. It's like Wu Wei is essentially non-doing, moving through the world with ease and grace as the universe intends or whatever the hell. Mm-hmm. So that's one aspect of it. And I think another is learning to deeply trust my intuition, learning to trust whatever wisdom is locked up in my body. After having spent so long up in my head strategizing and tinkering and planning, and having never, like, none of my best laid plans ever really came to fruition, like that's, but I'm just noticing this clear parallel between listening to my gut, listening to my intuition, acting on it immediately, moving through the world that way, and generally being very pleased with the results. Without letting my crazy, chaotic monkey mind run the show, which is a, I don't know, it's just an ongoing battle, but getting better at it.
Yeah, like I said, I mean, it's fascinating to me that, like, it sounds like we are in very similar places in that journey. I've also been recently really coming to terms with listening to my own intuition, sort of quieting the mind and not trying to like think through things quite so much. I guess what I'm curious to hear from you right now is like, where is Ungated at? Because I talk to like a lot of like I think of you and I think of Ungated and I send people your way, and like this weekend I'm about to I'm going to June Jam, which is what's that?
Oh, what is that? That sounds awesome.
Yeah, it's rad. It's a 3-day like campground sort of experience up in Flag, and it got pushed to September this year, so it's June Timber Jam. But it's like yoga, meditation, you know, energy work, like spirituality, like a lot of anything that sort of fits into that realm. And I know I'm going to meet a shit ton of people who are just fucking trying to like make art and feel good about life. Every time I have a conversation with somebody who is not trying to get a job, get freelance clients, or build a big company, I think of you and I think of Ungated. So I guess, regardless of, I mean, based on how things have changed for you over the past many months, like, what do you want to help people with? What do you see Ungated as, like, designed to help people do?
I love this question. And this is what I'm starting to suss out, because it, in the early days, it was very much a marketing website. Like, it was for creative people, and it was ultimately going to be filled with very traditional marketing advice, for lack of a better way of putting it. Like, let's talk about how to find a very specific market and do your personas and create, like, direct response style offers, and, like, how do you, whatever. Like, there's so much there, just in terms of translating what's already in the marketing world to the creator world, that very likely would have worked. And there's a bunch of people doing stuff like that. But
right,
even on day one, that never felt right. Partly because, as part of my quote unquote niche research process, which I go out and I sort of document the landscape and see who's talking about all these things. Like, I went and immersed myself in that world and all the creators who were looking for that and all of the other people who were talking about this in some way or another. And just immediately I was like, I do not vibe with this. Like, this is all the stuff I'm trying to get away from. Like, all the people, like, here's how to 10x your Twitter profile and dumb, dumb bullshit like that. Or, you know, here's how you can make six figures with your next membership site launch. You know, all of the things. Like, there's a million different just, like, variations or permutations of what that looks like. But ultimately, what I have come back to is that I want to help the people who are not into that scene at all, but who want to do meaningful creative work in some capacity. And I think about, like Seth Godin, when he talks about his definition of art, which is basically just generous work that only you can do that causes some kind of meaningful change in the world. Like, he just leaves it that open-ended. Like, that is my jam. And it might be writers who are on the edge of, like talking about clients or, like, climate science, or it might be somebody who's really into, like, crazy dystopian Victorian literature or some crap, or, like, I don't know, like, there's so many different permutations of what that might look like, but it's people who are leaning into their intuitive sense of what's extremely weird and nerdy, but just lights their soul on fire, which that sounds kind of tacky, but the people who don't give a fuck about, like, the best practices for 10x Twitter growth, who just want to make extremely cool shit that they think is cool, that deserves to be in the world, and finding those other, maybe it's 1,000 people, maybe it's 100, maybe it's 10,000, but finding the people who, or for whom that work would be a missing puzzle piece in their life, rather than just trying to make more, like, mediocre mass market schlock that's not going to offend anybody. Which is the vast majority of what comes out of all of the traditional marketing advice, man, is it dumbs everything down. It makes everything just sort of lowest common denominator. And I don't know, I think the phrase I find myself coming back to is, like, I want to make the internet, like, weird again, like, go back to, like, the blogosphere of, like, 2005 or whatever, which, granted, I wasn't really blogging back then, but I've heard stories of old, and just people doing it for the love of the craft, for the love of being part of these scenes and subcultures, without all of, like, the weird incentives that the, like, being part of the marketing world and treating things like a traditional business sort of throws into the mix. And it's interesting because there is a tension there, right? It's like, I want to help people be weird and build a business from it, but I also want it to be a business that, like, people just fucking love running, where it feels effortless, it feels easy, it doesn't feel like they're using a bunch of manipulative bullshit that they would never want used on them, but just because this is how you build a business, they're using it on other people anyway. No, it's about, I don't know, it's about using some of these mechanisms of business to show up in the world how you want to, create what you want to, and be compensated for it by people who actually give a shit and who are really grateful and appreciative of the creative work that you're doing and who want to reciprocate that value back to you in some way.
Well, yeah. as Seth Godin is fond of saying, making things better by making better things. And I resonate with that so much, Rob, because I am a creator myself. I am somebody who enjoys, whether it's building Notion dashboards or making music or you know, whatever it may be, like I love making stuff. I've always felt like I tend to do it in a more unique way than any of the other similar things I've seen out there. I think there are as many flavors of weirdness in terms of things that we create as there are people to create those, right? And so when it comes to the making, you talk about that, about finding the people for whom that would be a missing puzzle piece. How do you think about finding those people?
It's another one of those areas where my thinking is in the middle of a bit of an evolution, shall we say, because my old answer would be to find a niche market that is a reflection of who you are. So basically understand yourself, what you care about, the different aspects of your identity or certain problems that you care about solving, and then go out into the vastness of the interwebs and look for well-defined markets or subcultures or groups or scenes or however you want to define that. And find your people. And I think that's actually good advice for a lot of people, or maybe a segment of the population who, like, because I think about my first business, right, which was extraordinarily niche and serving a very specific, like one very specific market, and that is indie filmmakers who want to learn marketing and go around like traditional gatekeepers and distributors and middlemen and whatever else by selling directly to their fans. Like it was just a very, very specific thing. What I've since learned, however, is that that's not how I want to show up in the world anymore. Or maybe not even that. It's that I, like when I started Ungated in my other site, Citizen Within, last year, which is a vaguely political thing. I don't know what the hell that is either, honestly. I took my own advice. Like I went to go quote unquote find my niches. I did my niche research. I built out my big ass Notion databases with all the people who I thought like vibed with this and had, you know, like just similar, I don't know, similar audiences, similar just sort of views on this, and started immersing myself in these spaces. But what I learned is that one, there's like, I have a very clear idea of what I want to say and sort of like the, I guess the change I want to make in the world. And what I've realized is that that doesn't map neatly onto any particular niche or any particular subculture. Mm-hmm. So like, I don't know, I'll take the Citizen Within one. Originally, the original impetus for it was political depolarization, because I see the temperature rising in the United States and like, I think the US can be way radder than it is, but it certainly won't be if people are like demonizing each other and are at each other's fucking throats.
Yeah.
So like that was the initial impetus. But what I found through all of this research and through immersing myself in things was that there are, I don't know, 5, 10 like meaningfully different subcultures that my people exist in, basically. So, you know, there is a political depolarization space. There's the rationalists, there's the post-rationalist community. There's a sense-making thing that I don't know exactly if what that is, but then there's people who in a, like identify with the intellectual dark web, and that's a whole space. And like, there are all the, like, then there's like people who call themselves politically homeless. Like there are all these really distinct labels and distinct camps that people exist in. And like, obviously there is some crossover in the values between them, but fundamentally I learned that what I'm building with Citizen Within does not fit into any of these. And that if I were to take my own advice and just be like, screw it, I live in the sense-making space now, that wouldn't help me feel like I'm flourishing. That would feel restrictive. That would feel like I'm sacrificing what I want to say in order to fit myself into a neat little box that really isn't a perfect fit for me. So my approach now is essentially having a good idea of the type of person that I want to reach. And I'm constantly iterating on this. I don't have some fancy persona or anything like that. But I have a good idea of what this person cares about, what their underlying values are, some of the, like the psychographic, some of the fears, dreams, desires, like all that kind of basic marketing stuff. And I write to that. And then I go into these specific subcultures that I've identified where my people might be. And I try to quote, like as Seth Godin might say, find the others. And honestly, like that's a more complicated thing than just like, oh, this is the niche I belong in. I exist in this place now. Instead, I'm sort of like dipping into and out of subcultures and building relationships in them, but not necessarily being a meaningful member of a group. So this is a really long answer to your question, but like the short answer is just like, understand what you would feel alive doing that you really want to put into the world. And then do some work to find where people who vibe with that would be, like find the others. Like, I think it really is as simple as that. And like, I can devise all sorts of crazy systems and step-by-step checklists and shit, but ultimately the real work, I think, is just being courageous enough to go into the world and share what you've made and build relationships and ideally, you know, make friends. Like that's the thing that it is really about. And yeah, man, that's basically it. Find the others. Seth Godin had it all along.
He did. And in the others, what we find is that like there are opportunities for various kinds of relationships, from the most fulfilling, deep, intimate friendships to, checking in once in a while, and, you know, maybe kicking referrals each other's way or just like, you know, jamming on ideas or whatever. But like, to go back to what I feel like is the crux of the problem, which is that like, we all got to make money somehow when we live in a society that is based on affording to live. Do you equate finding the others to finding people who want to, like, I mean, who is it? Kevin Kelly? Like the original 1,000 True Fans thing is like, find 1,000 people that will buy every album you put out. Or that will, right? Like, so how do you think about, in terms of finding the others, like monetizing, what was it called? I had it pulled up. Citizen Within. How do you think about like the monetization problem? Not to make money hand over fist, but just to fucking afford, you know, mortgage and food and the basics. Yeah.
Well, the first thing I would say is it's probably not a good idea to jump into being a full-time creator right away. You should have some other source of income and, you know, start overlapping and, you know, cause like, and this is the other thing is like building any kind of creator business, whether it's like a traditional one or whether it's some like newfangled new age one, like whatever the hell I'm talking about right now is like, this is a game that takes years to play. And it's a, it comes from the depth of your relationships and the, it comes from what you create out in the world. And it just takes time to build that level of trust and goodwill and delight in any, you know, subsection of the market or in any community or however you want to phrase it. So I think what I would say there is don't rely on this to make a living at first. It's like approach it first from an intention of like, I want to make cool shit and I want to make a lot of friends on the internet. While having your needs or your financial needs met in other ways, whether that's a day job or you're a freelancer or you're, I don't know, whatever, gig economy or however you need to do that. Cause again, you can't ignore it. But what I see again and again is that people who need the creator thing to pay off for themselves immediately ultimately end up playing short games.
Compromising,
going for, and having been in this place myself where you have that scarcity bug in your brain.
Yeah.
You're like drawn like a fly to like one of those electronic or like electric lamps or whatever that's going to zap you. But you're like, you're just magnetically drawn to essentially get rich quick schemes. People who are promising quick results of any sort, which the internet is flooded with these people. Because ultimately, like, I don't know, whoever makes the most compelling promise is gonna win, regardless of whether that promise is bullshit or not, or regardless of whether it's built on a foundation of manipulation and mediocrity or whatever else. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, if you put yourself in a place of scarcity in the creator game, like you're sacrificing your ability to play this longer term game, which is another big aspect of what I'm trying to do, right? Is I want to help people be like nerdy and like relationally satisfied or have a lot of like good friends on the internet and make cool shit that they care about and have their financial needs met. Not 90 days from now, like 10 years from now, and like still be at it and still be as thrilled about it as the day that you started. And like, again, that's just the kind of thing that, I don't know, it just takes momentum to get to that point. And it just like, you have to be willing to play the long game in order to build something that is truly, I don't know, that is truly sustainable, where people will follow you wherever you go, where if you create something new, people will happily whip out their wallets without you having to use coercive manipulative marketing. Like, it just takes time. And if you don't give yourself the benefit of that time, you're going to get pulled in directions that I don't know, might feel vaguely, I don't know, vaguely productive, that might give you some quick dopamine rushes, but ultimately you're going to undermine the long game. So,
and get back to square one, wondering, why isn't this fulfilling like I thought it would be? Why isn't this working like I thought it would be?
Mm. Well, that's the thing, right? Is like, all of this comes from me and my first business having bought into many of these short-term marketing ploys and always feeling a sense of dissonance. Always feeling like, I don't really want to be putting this stupid fucking countdown timer on this sales page, but all the guru folks that I am listening to, who I've put my trust in, say this is the way to make money online and to earn your financial freedom and whatever. And I don't know exactly where I'm going with that, but like, that's like, it's just not a good way to live. Like, even if you do end up making a little bit of money, like there will be that voice inside of you that's like, oh man, you're a shitbag. You knew that was not a good way to treat other humans, but you did it anyway. And I think that dissonance can kind of, I don't know, it can kind of eat away at you a little bit, like kind of turn you cynical and cold hearted and whatever else over time. Cause you essentially have to disassociate from the part of yourself that knows what's right, knows how to treat people and wants to do good in the world. That's sad as fuck, man.
So what I'm hearing you say and what I'm resonating with is a real thing that's just like intrinsically worth something to some people in the world is worth taking its time to be birthed and to be sort of like that you want to not rush the process of creating that thing. You want to let that thing, like you said, I mean, it's not about doing it in the next 90 days. It's about doing it in the next 10 years. And that in the meantime, so, what I'm hearing you say is almost like, don't worry about how it makes money. Don't even think about how it makes money. Just focus on making it the most fulfilling thing. Like focus on feeling really good about what you're making. And the money will follow down the line, but make money from freelance clients or a job or whatever right now. Like, have your needs met so that you can really enjoy the fucking journey of creating this thing and letting it blossom. Is that?
I don't know that I necessarily buy that, actually. And like, it's one of the, like, I think there's a couple different strands to pull apart there. The first is that if the intention is ever to make money, is like, I think that needs to be a consideration. Like, I wildly naive to be like, make whatever you want to make, regardless of whether anybody ever cares. And somehow magically down the line, money will materialize into your life from the heavens or whatever the fuck. Like, I think that's like, naive is the perfect word for it. But on the other end of that is like, I think being like ruthlessly market focused is where you're like, oh, what's a profitable market that I can go after? What's a profitable thing that I can create right now? Like, I think that's also soul destroying. And like, again, like, I think this, it all comes back to find the others, right? Like, there has to be an interplay between what you want to create and what you genuinely enjoy creating and other people. Without this interplay between the two. And again, like, it's not saying you have to go straight down the line here and be 50-50. Like, I don't know, in some phase of your life, you might veer wildly, as I kind of am right now. I'm just kind of like shit posting and making a lot of stuff as I go along. And I'm not necessarily being like, how can I satisfy the creator market? But like, there is still, like, I still do have a sense of who this is for. And I know those people exist in the world. And I know those people are like me and they value the same things. And I am creating largely for myself because I am that person. But I know that those people are also out there and I am actively trying to reach them. And I am actively trying to say things that are going to resonate with them. So that is there. And I think that that's a, like, if the intention is to build a business, like, that always has to be there. And that's not to say that if you don't want to build a business, if you just want to make really cool shit and have no intention of monetizing ever, like, more power to you. Like, go make the weirdest, craziest shit ever. I don't think the world owes you. Maybe that's not the right way to put it, but like, I think the likelihood of you making a viable business out of that goes way down. Like, it might work out. Like, you might stumble into creating something really, really strange that people happen to love. But if the intention from day one is to build a business, like, even if it's just like a very small, intimate little business and not some big whatever, there has to be some consideration of other people. So that's one aspect that I would pull out from there. And the other one, I think, is like the taking your time thing. I think sometimes that, I don't know. I think it all just like can be summed up as it depends. Like, it's just like the answer to like every complicated thing ever. But right now I find myself in the camp of being I would rather be wildly prolific and create a lot of really imperfect things instead of taking my time. Because, like, and again, I think this is contextual for me because I'm traditionally a perfectionist who spends I spent all of 2020 building one fucking course, man. And like, it is a great course. But I also built it for the filmmaking community, which I am just not a part of anymore. So I spent a year of my life on this thing. And it's like, it was a ball and chain for so long that I wasn't able to move away from and I don't know, man. For other people, there might be a case for like really putting in the extra effort to make something that is above and beyond. I think there's a time and the place for that, or a season of life for that. But I tend to think for the vast majority of creative people, there needs to be fewer filters. There needs to be fewer, or like more inhibition in terms of what you put out into the world.
And I don't know. More inhibition?
Less inhibition?
As in, people should feel freer to put things out?
Yeah. People should. That was such a confusing sentence. That's exactly it. It's like more people need to quiet the voices in their head that say, this isn't good enough, this isn't ready to put out into the world, and be prolific and create more shit, because that's ultimately what, one, it hones your skills, it gets you better. Like that's just a big thing. But that's also what is like the key mechanism in finding the others, is putting out things that are just raw and real and maybe a little bit rough around the edges. But the kind of people who see that and appreciate it and actually vibe with whatever it is that you happen to say, like, those are your people. Mm-hmm. And you will not necessarily find them if you're just stuck in your head being like, I have to create the perfect thing. So I don't know if I adequately tackled your question, because there was a lot there, but yeah, I think, and I, again, like I used to think that you had to create like extraordinarily high quality stuff. Like that was an element of the old worldview, so to speak. But now I'm just in like, nah, dog, fuck it. Let's create lots of cool shit and see what happens. Like the more the merrier.
Yeah. Yeah. No, what I'm hearing you say is, so I take away very clearly, like, if the intention is to build a business with it or to make money from it, that should be clear from the beginning. Like, you can be honest with yourself about that, like, the reason I'm making this thing is because I would like to monetize it in some form, and that's okay, but that's just important to know, right?
And the only other thing I would add to that is, maybe you start off with exactly zero commercial intent. You're just like, I just want to make really weird, interesting stuff, and who gives a damn? And then 2 years later, you might wake up and have a little bit of an audience and be like, oh, I think I'm ready to like be a professional creator now, or whatever. That's even a weird term. But you might then be like, I want this to be a business. At which point, you need to consider what other people want and what kind of problems you could solve, what would be meaningful for them, or whatever. And it might be as simple as just like slapping up a Patreon and calling it a day and just keeping on making the weird stuff. Or you might need to veer further into that market direction to create something that will actually help you reach those goals. So I don't think it necessarily has to be either or. You can jump from one to another. But when the intention, I think, is commercial in some way, there needs to be at least a little bit of consideration of who it's for and why they should care.
For sure. So I'll give an example of something I've built that had zero commercial intent, but that I've found extremely valuable myself, and that I think people will find valuable. It's a Notion like grocery list. Ooh. And for anybody that uses Notion, like, I guarantee that this is valuable, because it's got a year's worth of, like, I built it over a year with my wife and my buddy Adam that was living with us for 3 months. Like we know that it works in collaboration with multiple people, that it's an effective way to not forget certain items and to stay on top of like the stuff that you want to have around in the fridge and the pantry. And we've refined it. And so now I'm gonna launch it on Product Hunt with like a, you know, on Gumroad, like $0 plus, mm-hmm. like pay what you want. And just like see how many people download it, how many people like donate some amount of money to it, and just like see what happens as a measure of like how valuable is this to like the community of productivity, Notion, mm-hmm. that sort of community that I kind of vibe with. Like to your point earlier, like I kind of like I enjoy conversations with those people and I'm in some of those communities, but I don't feel like I belong to any one of them necessarily. Mm. So there's that. And then on the other side, there's the software tool that I've been building for Inspiring Careers itself, which is on the homepage. It's like, if you go to inspiring.careers, you'll see a bunch of companies along with like their impact statement, like how they're, you know, moving the world forward. And these are companies that I've personally selected as being like worthy of attention. I think that they're doing interesting stuff in the world. And like, I think that they of all companies deserve talent, reaching out to them and offering to help out in certain ways. And like the intent from the beginning has been to monetize this platform. But I don't know what that's going to look like. Like, I don't know what the monetization strategy will be. I don't know what the go-to-market will be. All I know is that I'm trying to validate a hypothesis that when this type of person reaches out to this type of company in this type of way, a work opportunity, a paid work opportunity ensues from it. Mm. So I guess those are like two pretty good examples, right? Of like a thing that was just made for myself that ended up being something that others will probably value and something that I'm specifically considering the needs of a certain group of people.
Yeah. The theme that I pick up on there and that most resonates with me is this idea of running experiments. And like, this has been such a, I don't know, game changer is just like one of those overused phrases, but coming from somebody who is just like a meticulous top-down planner and strategizes everything to death and has all these exquisite Notion dashboards and like, and all of this is like a sign of my perfectionism, which is really just me running from the actual vulnerable work of engaging with people and potentially being told, Rob, this is a shitty idea. Like that's all that like my overcomplication and perfectionism ever really was. Made me feel productive, but it was just me hiding, running away. Mm. But the big shift for me was just, instead of I have to get this right, is just like, what could I create right now? And, or like, what do, and for me, like, again, like there is this intuitive sense is like, what feels meaningful to create right now? And what if I just treat it as an experiment and just like, what if I did this? How would it go? Mm-hmm. Guess let's find out. As opposed to having this whole rigid mental architecture, you know, and this set of expectations that I feel emotionally compelled to and like have pinned my self-worth to in many cases, like that never plays out well. But when everything is an experiment and you're just like, fuck it, let's throw this recipe dashboard on Product Hunt and see how it goes. Like the amount of ease and fun that can come from something like that is astounding. And I'm learning to trust again that life can be flowy and easy. And like it comes back to non-coercion and non-doing and Taoism and all of these things. Like it's all interconnected. Mm-hmm. But for me, that treat things as hypotheses, run experiments, be curious and open and adaptable, like that's leading to some insane places. Cause like, and maybe the funny thing to me is like, about this time last year, maybe September, October of 2020, is when I really launched Ungated. And like a few of the first things that I wrote were like, here's my business plan for Ungated, and here's how I'm going to market myself. And like, and I think luckily I kind of abandoned a lot of that around December in favor of something much, much simpler. But this whole year has been defined by just a series of experiments. Like one of which is I'm doing the 7th week sabbatical thing. I don't know if you're, do you know Sean McCabe? Are you familiar with him at all?
I don't.
Oh, well, so he has been taking every 7th week off. Like he works 6 weeks on, 1 week off. And has been paying his team to do the same since like 2015 or something like that. And he's on a mission to like make these types of sabbaticals ubiquitous, I guess would be the word.
Yeah.
But like I decided that this would be my experiment this year is to essentially work in these really discrete chunks rather than, because I have a history with burnout. But what I found is that every one of these 6 week chunks is a beautiful opportunity to just like try new things and to have it be self-contained. And now that we're 9 months into the year or whatever, like the amount of evolution and iteration that has come just from trying a bunch of random shit and going with my intuition is insane. Like I never could have like top-down strategized my way into where I am right now. It only could have emerged bottom up from being intuitively open and curious and just trying things and going with the flow. And like, that's been so eye-opening for me. And that's been the reason why I am just like not trusting my monkey mind to have all the answers anymore. Because very clearly it's missing out on a lot of important shit that it just doesn't have access to. I don't know where I was going with that other than like, I think this idea of running experiments and making it like part of your, just like part of your operating system for how you approach creativity and how you approach marketing and how you approach business. And, or even if it's not a business, but like when it's part of your operating system and you do it a lot, like, I think it creates this flywheel where you learn faster and you grow faster and you end up in places that you never otherwise would have imagined. If you use this very, I don't know, like rigid, I'd say Western, it's just like, this is my 5-year plan. And this is the goals that I have to set to hit this plan. And they're going to be SMART goals. And I'm going to wake up every day at 5 a.m. and do this set of actions to hit my SMART goals. And like, I'm being facetious, but like, this is how so many people, including myself for many years, move through the world. And it just blows my mind. Like, what are we missing out on by locking ourselves into these visions and these predetermined destinations, when in fact, very often when you hit them, it's not fulfilling. You find out that this ladder that you've been climbing has been propped up on the wrong building all along. Like everybody has one of those experiences. And but what if you just experimented and iterated and had fun? And life can be that way, man.
Yeah. Well, and to your point about like, I mean, I was visualizing earlier before our conversation, what it would be like to, I felt like I need to have like 5 companies that are like each, you know, addressing a certain area of social impact, and that like, you know, if I can just be CEO of each thing and hire the people necessary to like execute on the specific things, the product, the marketing, the whatever, that would be like, you know, the epitome of fulfillment for me, because I would feel like I'm having all the impact that I want. I visualized that and I felt so lonely. And then I visualized popping my head over my shared wall with my neighbor Phil and having like a conversation with him about, you know, I don't know this about him, but like, you know, him admitting that he's like bored in his job and like that he's looking for something new, and like having a conversation with him that helps like unlock things for him. And I felt so fucking full, like visualizing that. And it was like, it was such a good reminder that I've really romanticized the impact at scale, the building a high leverage like software startup that helps millions of people do XYZ. I've really romanticized that and at the expense of just realizing what makes me actually come alive and in specific ways, because certainly like specific things that I do make me come alive and can lead to those kinds of outcomes. But it shouldn't be about the outcomes.
Yeah. Dude, I love that. And it's just such a clear example of how we have access to that kind of like insane bodily wisdom of what is good and meaningful and true, and how often it's disconnected from what we think we want. And what came to mind for me is, like, I don't know if you're familiar with Rene Girard or the theory of mimetic desire. This is a whole rabbit hole I've been going down. It's still very new to me, but essentially, like, most humans move through life thinking that their desires are their own. Rene Girard calls this the romantic lie. We think that we have like autonomy and agency over what we want and the directions we move in life, when in fact we learn what to want by imitating, by looking to those around us and adapting their desires as our own. Hmm. And like when you're talking about, and like when you see this, it's one of those like, holy shit, this is everywhere things. It's like one of those theories that explains the entire world in many cases. But like when you were talking about like having like five higher leverage, like software startups and whatever, it's like, I wonder how much of that is an authentic Jeremy desire and how much of that comes from having been immersed in startup land and having, I don't know, being in like startup Twitter or like startup communities. And just having that in that culture sort of lead to you desiring something that isn't necessarily resonant to you, that doesn't give you the feelings that you want, but on account of this being fundamental to our nature, it's just the story that you now tell yourself about what you want. Yeah. And you did, like, I don't know, that was what blew my mind, is about you using that visualization, is like, you were able to tap into something and have an insight that most people never get to this idea that maybe what I want isn't actually what I want. Like that in and of itself is crazy. So I don't know exactly where I'm going with this, but like for me, a lot of this new worldview comes back to this word ungated that originally just meant like no gatekeepers, like let's go around gatekeepers. Mm-hmm. But the more I think about it, the more there are so many different things that we need to ungate ourselves from, or to become ungated agents in the world. And, you know, one of them is gatekeepers. One of them is sort of like ending our reliance on like massive internet platforms. Like if you build your entire business on YouTube and then they change their algorithm overnight, like that was pretty dumb of you, buddy. Like, but the further I've gone down the rabbit hole, the more I think this idea of mimetic desire also plays a huge role in this. It's like, we're all sort of, the products of our social environment. And many of us are carrying around so much mental baggage that has been picked up from culture, from the social ecosystem that we exist in. And again, like having been in the marketing world for so long, like it becomes so easy to justify and rationalize a lot of things that I know are not intuitively correct because everyone else is doing it. It becomes easy to be like, oh, my goal should be like working 4 hours a week and sitting on a beach in Thailand or whatever, because this is what people like us want. So I think that's like the next level of becoming ungated is learning to step outside of your social ecosystem and question some of those fundamental assumptions. And like, I don't think you can escape this. Like, I don't know if there's such a thing as like true authentic desire. Like there's always an interplay between you and the other people. But for me, the goal is to, again, find the others, is to trust that intuitive sense of who do you feel really, really good around? And like in your case, if it's your neighbor or people like your neighbor who are going through some sort of transition in life or who need that spark, and like that's what makes you feel alive and them alive. And there's this just like this synchronous, beautiful interdependence where everybody is making each other better. Like if you can find the others and put yourself in social ecosystems that are just like full of mutual benefit and people acting abundantly and with generosity and with kindness and with grace and like the things that lead to you feeling how you want to feel in life, that short circuits a lot of these just like shitty social dynamics that we find ourselves in where we're influenced by the worst parts of the culture around us. Like it is possible to quote unquote ungate yourself and opt out of that and then opt into a social ecosystem that is nourishing and that leads you to living a good, fulfilled, creative life full of like friendship and connection and belonging and shit, like all these things that we want. And then I also think there's taking it one layer deeper, and that's learning to disconnect from a lot of the cultural beliefs about how the world works that you've been carrying around your entire life. And for me, it's a lot of this coercion stuff. Like I think a lot of people are deeply coercive, deeply hard on themselves. They treat themselves like shit. And then that shows up in both how they see the world and how they act in the world. And there's probably a lot of other things that have to do with like trauma and healing and all sorts of shit. But I think that like that for me is like the final layer of becoming ungated and becoming an ungated person or an ungated agent in the world. Like, and so I don't know, like this is what I'm starting to flesh out now is quote unquote the ungated worldview. But it's a thing, man. And like, that's like, it started as like, I'm going to teach you how to make 1,000 true fans come true through some like marketing stuff. And now whatever the hell this is, man, like I don't know.
It's like way more existential, right? Yeah. Would you say that like your goal is to help people feel as fulfilled as possible in whatever they do?
I think so. I think so. I think the reason I'm hesitant is that like I think fulfillment is the right target. Like some people might say, I want everybody to be as happy as possible, and then they just misconstrue that with feeling like reasonably satisfied most of the time. And like, I think it's possible to move through life that way, but like really miss out on some of the, I don't know, on some of the joy. And like, I also think there's meaning and struggle, especially a struggle with other people that you care about towards ends that you think are noble and virtuous and good, that like, I think a lot of that stuff can be fulfilling, whereas a lot of the just generic pursuit of happiness stuff completely leaves that off the table. But yeah, I think I would aim at something like human flourishing. Like I want to help creative people flourish in some capacity. And I think that looks different for different people. I don't know, man. I think that sounds right. In the ballpark.
Yeah, in ballpark. The flourishing thing for me is pretty on point. I was infected by that when I worked at Crash last year. Crash being this career launch software startup that rolled out of an accelerator. They had first done Praxis, a career launch boot camp like a college alternative, and they figured out how to make, you know, just pretty much anyone like super impressive through mindset and habits and everything. And then they built all of these relationships with startups and got them paid apprenticeships, and they built this thing that works really well. But then the founder wanted to scale it to millions of people without, like, he wanted to scale it to millions of people. You know, scaling a high cost, high touch model takes a shit ton of time and work and resources. And it's just like, it can be done, but it's like, he wanted to do the, like, the classic, like, blitz scale software startup kind of approach. And throughout my time working there, the Crash's mission is to help people discover and do what makes them come alive. And when I really sat with that mission and started to realize, like, what happens when the work that we do makes us come alive, I really started getting infected by that mission. I was like, holy shit, this is such a powerful thing to help people do. Like, fuck yeah, I'm so into this. And so fulfillment, coming alive, or lighting up, as I like to say, everyone deserves to do work that makes you light up. It's all kind of the same thing. And work is like a piece of it. You know, vocation, or like creativity, your contribution to the world, from that perspective, is like a piece of how we can gain our fulfillment. And we can feel extremely fulfilled through our relationships, through like art, like things that are not work, but that we just do because we want to do them. Like me with my music, like, my goal is not to make money from it. My goal is to create a beautiful product that I want to listen to. And so that fulfillment, if we as people, and anyone listening, if we like sort of like turn down the volume on all of the societal, like, how things should be, or like what we think we want, like me with the 5 software startups, like if we turn down the volume on all of that and we just check in internally and go, in what situations do I feel exhilarated, or do I feel peaceful, or do I feel, you know, some good feeling, and how can I do more of that?
Yeah. Wait. This might be the perfect analogy, because I recently started dating again after, I don't know, bad breakup a few years ago and having taken a few years to work on myself or whatever. And one of the insights that I have very purposefully brought into this I don't know, new dating adventure, whatever the hell you want to call it, is that I'm not optimizing for, I don't know, some checklist of who I'm trying to find in the world. Like, and I think that's the software that comes from dating a lot of the time, is like, I don't know, but instead it's, how do I want to feel in a partnership with somebody?
Like, yes.
And just being really intentional about that and being really present to how I'm feeling with people that I'm meeting. And, you know, and I think it really can be as simple as that, to end up in a place that feels deeply nourishing and worthwhile. And I think it's just another example of how we let our big, overly active monkey brains just kind of like get in the way of us just, I don't know, living how we want and feeling how we want. Mm-hmm. It's just crazy, man. But, and I think that same thing applies to, business, is like, like coming from like the online business, online course world, like launches were the big thing. It's like, I just ran a $1 million launch, or a 6-figure launch. And I think a lot of us, just on account of, you know, mimetic desire, we pick up on that, or we sort of assume that that's the way things are done because we see people we look up to who are touting this. Mm-hmm. And then I spent a few years operating my business on a launch model only to realize that it fucking sucks. It's exhausting. You live in this like perpetual state of feast or famine with your revenue.
That's right.
Launches themselves are extraordinarily stressful. And they're always way more work than they appear to be on the surface. And broadly speaking, it's just not a very nice way to live one's life. And this is why I come back to the 1,000 true fans thing. It's like, cause I think, for one, I think you've like, if you're creating work that brings you alive, that lights you up, that whatever, however you want to verbalize that, like that for one is going to make you feel how you want to feel. Getting it in the hands of people who are like fucking ecstatic about it, who are just like thrilled to death that you created this and that you leaned into your weirdness, that's going to help you feel how you want to feel. And then like, obviously you can fill in the blanks around business model. Like maybe it's a pure membership and you just charge people $100 a year to access it. Or maybe you go like me and you're doing this crazy gift economy thing. Or maybe, I don't know, maybe you do a launch like 2 times a year and then you vacation the other months. I don't know, man. Like the rest of the blanks can be filled in based on like what your ideal vision of life is, or you can run a bunch of experiments to see how those things make you feel and then be like, all right, this is the business model for me. But like fundamentally, that's why I'm attracted to this more 1,000 true fan style thing, because it gets creative people to a place where they feel like they want to feel, and they're making work that they care about for people who actually give a shit and their financial needs are taken care of. And that's insane, man. Like that's the holy grail. And I don't know where I was going with that other than just like optimizing for how you want to feel is like such a powerful heuristic that seemingly goes out the wayside in really anything having to do with business, with marketing, with careers. Like, I don't know why that is, but I think it leads people down a lot of paths that just aren't a good fit for them.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a lesson that I've been learning heavily this year, as somebody who intellectualizes everything.
What? I don't do that. What are you talking about, Jeremy?
It's like, yeah, I've been really like forced to listen to intuition, listen to my heart, and prioritize how I feel over what I think. And as you mentioned earlier in this conversation, it tends to lead to way better results. Results that I may not have expected or even been able to consider, but better results nonetheless. Results that feel good. And after this conversation and the conversation that I had with Adam just before this, and like, really my takeaway is when I try to do too much and have like a lot of impact and move the needle a lot and blah, 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 I fall into those trappings and I start to like get this like existential crisis mindset where I'm like doubting myself and doubting everything. But when I operate from a more creative place, perhaps, and when I listen to intuition and feeling, I find myself spending more time net happy, like net joyful, intrinsically exhilarated or calm or whatever the positive feeling is. Like I spend more time overall in those positive feelings. And I mean, if that isn't the fucking meaning of life, I don't know what is.
And there's one other like factor I'd consider. Cause like, I can tell you want to make an impact. You want to I don't know, just like leave a mark on the world in a positive way. And more, I think that the people who are moving through life feeling how they want to feel, one, they're more able to play like long-term games, and it's fundamentally long games that are going to, you know, tip the scale on global consciousness or climate change or whatever. Yeah. But I don't know, man. Like I think that there's like a snowball effect or like a domino effect of living this way, where your monkey brain thinks that this is insignificant. But if you keep doing it, you keep experimenting, you keep iterating, you keep making friends, you keep doing what is meaningful and good, you keep just moving through the world, like influencing the people around you, and obviously building whatever endeavors feel good and true and meaningful right now, like that adds up to, again, something in 5 years or 10 years that you probably never ever would have been able to think your way into. But I don't know, man. Like,
yeah,
I don't think you can imagine, or I can imagine, or anybody imagine, like the actual impact that you can have. I think you can only discover it over time through, I don't know, being true, following that inner compass, living in a way that feels meaningful, and helping others around you do the same. And I don't know, like that comes back to what I'm kind of all about, right? It's like I'm focused on this very specific like subset of creators or people who want to do really weird, interesting shit online. But like there's just such a wide world of people who could benefit from the philosophy. And like, I don't know, man. Like, this is why I'm optimistic about humanity, is like, and like the future of this planet and like the human race in particular, is like, I talk to so many people who are on board with this and who are starting to play these longer term games and who are waking up from a lot of, I don't know, like the shitty myths of industrial society, and are just playing these healthier, more nurturing long-term games and helping other people do the same. And like, I can't help but imagine that leads to some sort of tipping point down the road. Maybe not. Maybe it's Pollyanna-ish or whatever, but just the people I'm encountering are so fucking inspiring, man, that like, I don't know. I got hope.
I do too, man. I think we should end on that note. And I would love to have a follow-up in like 3 months or so and see how things have evolved on both ends.
It'll just be like, fuck it. I'm a sleazy internet marketer now. Just like me on a, yeah.
If you want me on your podcast.
I know. Like, yeah, dude, I would love that. And, yeah, I'm just like glad to know that a lot of these like really weird philosophical existential things that I'm grappling with are not, I don't know, that I'm not just like on my own out in the wilderness. Like that, yeah. That's comforting, because it's kind of felt that way at times.
Yeah, it does feel that way at times. Well, I'm so glad that we made this happen. like you said, I think before we started the recording, it only took five reschedules, but and like I can't tell you how much I needed this conversation today. I was like kind of thinking, I was like, I'm not gonna reschedule because we've rescheduled so many times already. Like, we're gonna do this fucking episode. But I have been thinking about this conversation in the context of content for the podcast and for the business. And today was just like an existential day for me. It was like, I was like, actually, that's not the purpose of this conversation at all. Like, we will have a great conversation and I'll publish it to the podcast and people will get value out of it. But the purpose of the conversation is to actually like reconnect and explore these concepts and these philosophies. And this has been like therapeutic to me, man. So thank you.
And likewise, like, I feel like you've kind of like forced me to articulate a lot of things that I have just, I don't know, just been swimming around in my head, and I've been largely very confused about. And like now, just on account of having a conversation, I feel way more clear about like what I'm doing and like what the purpose of this thing is and like what some of the interlocking pieces of this whole worldview. Cause it does feel like there's a whole worldview that's coming together that is obviously kind of messy, but like, I want to be able to articulate it so that I can start sharing it with others as well. Mm. And this helped so much with that. So yeah, man, thank you.
I hope that you got as much out of this conversation as I did. Basically, Rob's current advice to creators is don't jump into full-time creatorship at first. Don't rely on it to make a living because it causes us to play short-term games and compromise on what we really want to do. Instead, we should make cool shit, whatever you want, without worrying about how it earns money and meet your financial needs in other ways. Earn your income from a job or clients or something else that doesn't make you miserable. Then over time, if you play the long game and if what you make is valued enough by these others, they will want to pay you. They will want to support you. And that form of support is truly sustainable. It just takes time. Alrighty, we're wrapping up for today. If you want to connect with me directly, you can shoot me an email, jeremy@inspiring.careers, or you can find me all over the web at rarelyjeremy. And if you want to connect with Rob, you can find him at ungated.media. Thanks so much for listening. See you next time.